everybody. Welcome to The Stack. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm B.
And this is the show where we break new ground by reviewing comics on the day they come out.
What?
We've been doing The Stack for 10 years.
Yeah.
Basically.
Plus, and we've been doing it late.
Right. Well, we do our live show every Tuesday night at the Pit Loft in New York. It's a totally free show. But we do it. We review the comics that came out the week before, and then I'm a terrible person, so I basically never put up the live show until much later. So everybody's getting their comic reviews like a week and a half late. So we decided to totally change it up, do something nobody's doing, and review comics on the very day they come out.
Nobody's doing.
That's
nobody,
smart.
First time.
That's smart, because when people read them, then they can hear a review.
Yes, that's weird. Absolutely true. So last week we did just DC reviews. We're going to shake it up a little bit this week and do a DC review and a bunch of Image reviews. We're going to be talking about All-Star Batman number 13, mm-hmm. Black Magic number 7, and mm-hmm. Deadly Class number 30.
That's a sweet stack.
That's
right
a
there.
Sweet stack.
That is a sweet stack.
That is my kind
that's
of stack.
That's a short, sweet stack of short stack pancakes with maple syrup on top.
That's exactly
I'll
right.
I'll take mine silver dollar,
and
thank
that's,
you.
Remember, we had to break into a local comic book store to get these comics and review them. Please do not let them hear this. Do not get us arrested.
But if you are going to break into a comic book shop, we recommend Midtown Comics. Because yeah. they've been nice enough to sponsor our live show. Yeah. Don't actually do that. And don't, please, we need their money.
Great disclaimer.
Okay, let's move on with the reviews. You guys want to kick it off with Black Magic number 7?
Let's do it.
Now, this has not been out for a while. This is a book by Greg Rucka and Nicola Scott. Nicola Scott, I don't know why I said that weird.
Yep. Nicola,
that's why I said it weird. Yeah. On art, it's about a witchy detective.
That's now, nice.
It hasn't been out for a while, but I like to tell myself that the reason it takes so long is because the art's so amazing, it's worth the wait.
Yeah.
This has the feel of like a black and white, like 1950s movie, mm-hmm. where it's like very like lush, light, but black and white. You get to really feel the action, very tonal. Like it's really nice.
It's really nice. Yeah. It almost makes you want to read it twice. Like once, just kind of like enjoying the art, and then second time to actually read what people are saying.
Oh, no.
Nice. So nice you read it twice?
Yeah.
Sweet. But he doesn't read it twice.
Oh, no.
He only reads it once.
Oh, okay.
So that first read, when you're just looking at the pictures, what are you thinking about?
Are you thinking just like, hey, I wonder what's going on.
I wonder what these characters are saying.
Yeah.
No clues on the page to tell me
what
it
exactly.
is.
That's like when you go to see a movie and you really like it, you walk out halfway through.
No, it's more like when you go to a movie and you close your eyes the whole time and just listen. And you're like, boy, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
And then you go back again, plug your ears, and then you just watch it.
Yeah.
And you go back a third time with everything.
Yeah.
And then one time you just feel the movie on your face. I only see movies when I'm on ecstasy, which is all the
time.
Nice.
So if you're wondering what the plot of this book is.
Interesting point.
Yeah, there's.
I love this comic. Yeah, I've been reading
it. You want to talk about
it? Yeah, sure. So it's a detective in this small town who is also a witch. And
by small town, I think you mean Portland. It's probably Portland.
Yeah, but like there's woods.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it's because I don't. I think it does take place in like at the edge of town. either way, it has the witches take their witch stuff in the woods like they're
right.
supposed to.
Right.
So anyway,
so it's Woodstown.
It's Woodstown.
Forget it. It's Woodstown.
So, but our main character is in the midst of a witch case at the same time that she's trying to solve a murder case.
Right.
So,
that's got to be tough.
Yeah.
Well, it is tough because what happens is both things are going in simultaneously. She constantly has to take evidence out of the storage locker.
Which
she's
a crime just like breaking into a comic book store,
right,
which
exactly.
we do, but don't recommend.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Also, like that's it kind of says a lot about her, like what's more important to her, you know, because if she really was more of a cop than a witch, then she wouldn't do that. But she's more of a witch than a cop because she is doing that.
I got to be honest with you. This comic should be called Witch Cop.
Yep.
Oh, nice. I feel like there's a lot of comics called Blank Cop.
Probably.
Yeah.
This is, like Pete said, it's a gorgeous comic book. This is very much
that.
A middle chapter, so I don't think you can really jump right in with this one. But there have been a lot of issues, so definitely go back and pick it up. Like you said, just because she's threading all these different needles, just the noose is tightening around her. There's all these forces, both mystical and otherwise, that are gathering against her. One of the other things that I think is great about this is there's another witch that she's friends with, and there's just something that's very nice and natural about their friendship. I feel like in these sort of things, it's always like, an alcoholic loner, right?
Yeah.
And she's not that. She actually connects with people.
Well, and plus it's like they're just regular people.
Yeah.
When they're hanging out, they're talking about regular life. They're talking about witch stuff.
Yeah.
So it's it feels like a real friendship.
Yeah, and it speaks to the art because it feels so natural because it's such a still medium. That's very impressive that I could pull that off. But I also wanted to talk about, man, I've never seen a strip club look so beautiful. And the art and really
Pete,
does.
You go to a lot of strip clubs.
Well, I'm looking for beautiful ones.
Are you talking about the interior design?
That's right. Yeah, I'm looking at, you know, like, what are you doing here? You know, what is the light like? You know,
for those of you,
the shadows.
For those who don't know, Pete has a job as he's a strip club buffet manager.
That's right.
So he's going just making sure that all the shrimp are at a crisp 98 degrees.
Yeah.
Because you want to just barely feel a temperature difference when you put it in your mouth.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, if you're a strip club, you got to have good, nice, crisp shrimp.
You want some nice.
That's the number one concern.
Yeah, exactly.
Before I even go in, I ask, has Pete vetted this shrimp?
Yeah, exactly. Like, Pete, I hope not, because he's a real hard ass when it comes
Have you seen that? Passing by Flashdancers in Midtown, there's that sticker of Pete with his thumbs up.
Yeah.
And that's how you know the shrimp's okay.
That's how you know it's legit.
And for those of you who don't know, Alex is passing by Flashdancers a lot. And by passing by, he means waving to his friends as he walks in to just enjoy some sweet, warm shrimp.
Listen, I like supporting the arts and
plus,
shrimp.
They have
and
a
Pete.
Good deal for the buffet.
Yeah,
it's great. You don't eat it. They haven't sponsored the show.
Okay.
So they can't. And by the way, we do recommend breaking into your local strip club and recording a podcast about their interior design.
Yep.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Let's move on with our next review. All-Star Batman number 13 from DC Comics. Now, this is by Scott Snyder. Art by Raphael Albuquerque.
Great team.
Great team. Used to work on American Vampire back in the day.
Yeah.
Which would be like 3 months ago.
Yeah.
And this story, I am really enjoying this story. It's focusing on Alfred Pennyworth and his time when, I don't even think you can call it a secret agent, right? Like some sort of trained assassin. Basically, he went through Batman training before Batman went through Batman training.
You're damn right.
And Alfred's past is coming back to haunt both of them. I think that's a way of reducing the story, right?
Yeah, I think so. It is like it's like the MI6 of the British government, but only one person. There's one trainer who's the first ally, which is named the Ark, who trains different people, different soldiers, to be this like rogue element out there doing good or maybe slightly bad, as we're learning as the story unfolds.
Also, art in this is also amazing. It just really paints a lovely and picture. And what's weird is when I heard about this story, I wasn't excited about it. Like, oh, yay,
the
story
about Butler.
Whatever, he's got a past. But this is so well done. I've been really enjoying this so far.
I've been really liking the Alfred side of it, the sort of the flashbacks. The current Batman stuff is a little confusing to me exactly what's going on. It seems clear that the first ally is the villain, which I guess we're starting to really see. But to me, it's you don't quite get the point of view. It seems like trouble's brewing, but what is Batman's deal?
I feel like it's a little more mixed in this issue in particular, which full-fledged goes into Alfred's perspective. You know, we were playing coy for the first issue or two about who the story was really about, and it's completely flipped to Alfred at this point. So I agree with you. I think that, shrimp. I stopped there before the podcast.
You do not look good.
It did not
have
that.
Can't be the shrimp. Can't be the shrimp.
No. It was a no Pete sticker on the window.
There was no Pete sticker?
Yeah, I went to this place called Dance Flashers.
Oh.
A lot of strip clubs have a no Pete sticker, meaning no Pete. No, Pete. No.
So there is that, and I think the other thing is, this is not a slam because he's one of my favorite artists, but I find when Raphael Albuquerque starts to jam stuff out a little quicker, he has foreground. Pete is bringing his arm back to smack me across the face right now.
Yeah, what the fuck are you about to say right now?
Don't just get ready to hit me based on what maybe I'm going to say. Also, don't hit me.
Is that a new rule?
Yeah, that's like the first rule. Remember when we set down the charter of Comic Book Club?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Never listened to the first rule of
whatever
club
we're in a no-fight club. The first rule of Comic Book Club is don't fight.
Oh. Yeah. So he tends to draw the figures and skip the backgrounds. Mm. And that's very much prevalent in the current sequences and less so in the past sequences.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Yeah, I'm sorry. The other thing that I think particularly draws me to this is probably like 10, maybe longer years ago, I actually pitched a series to WB Animation about young Alfred Pennyworth solving mysteries as a spy while Batman is off. So, doing his Batman-y thing. So,
are you trying to claim that this was your idea?
I'm just saying this was my idea.
Wow!
Holy shit!
Bold.
Wait, well,
I
can't
I think
imagine
Scott
what,
Snyder would disagree.
I made him.
Yeah. I just hope the people at WB Animated Digital are rolling over in their graves.
So sad that they killed all of them.
Yeah, I know. Well, when the CW took over WB, they scorched earth. Scorched earth policy.
Anyway, what you like this book?
Yeah, I like this. I mean, like I said, it was sort of a little confusing with what Batman's deal in this, and I feel like eventually we're going to get to a...
Yeah, what is Batman's deal? have they ever explored that in comic books?
Nope. Yeah, I know. Someday
or maybe
we'll
a movie?
There. Yeah, or maybe like a dark multiverse where we're learning exactly how many Batman we can cram into one comic book. But no criticism there yet. But I do think that, that we're aiming toward a Batman, Alfred, father-son moment where Alfred sort of has to be, needs help in the way mm-hmm. that Batman...
I love that. We've talked about that on the live show quite a bit. With
I
this
hope
comic.
It's the reverse. I hope what happens is Alfred's working really hard on a case, and then Batman just comes over with soup and was like, I got you this lentil soup. And then he's like, lentil, that's it, Batman. Thanks. And then he has the key to solve the whole case.
Yeah.
Oh, because of lentils?
Lentils.
Yeah, because that was always...
Lentil? Happened. That reminds me of Yentl. We need to track down Barbara Streisand.
Yep.
Okay.
Great. Well, let's move on with our next comic.
Vacillating wildly in our references, as usual.
Deadly Class, number 30 from Image Comics. You're also a fan of this one, right?
Yeah,
Jason?
I'm also a fan
I actually don't read that. I'm a huge Rick Remender guy. But Deadly Class, just it slipped through the cracks.
About,
I never
man?
Started reading.
Teen angst?
No, I really
violence?
Liked, honestly, I really like this issue, even not knowing the plots. Whoa. Oh, no.
We're gonna
did you just start the copy machine?
No,
is that what happened?
Did you set the detonator to blow?
No. Guys, we just have to leave no trail in Midtown Comics. We'll never find us here. So, as I was saying, I haven't read this comic. This series, I have read this issue, and I like it a lot. I don't know a lot what the overarching plot is,
yeah.
But to see these like kids hanging out in a car just really takes me back to my youth.
Oh, yeah, when you were driving on your car wasted, passing drinks around, and just like almost crashing, and then smoking weed out the window.
I mean, that is not super far from the truth, if I'm being honest.
So if you haven't read this comic, ostensibly the pitch for it is School for Assassins, but I would say like... Of the 30 issues, maybe 5 have been set in a school for assassins. That's probably being a little mean about it. One of the weirdest things about this book, though, is that it has this killer pitch, and Rick Remender clearly cares about that least of all. Like, yeah. He's most interested in the characters. He's interested in the dynamics of having these characters in the 80s and finding that nostalgic element there. In particular, the art. Like, my favorite part of this book is the art. Wes Craig is the artist, and Jordan Boyd is the colorist. And the colors in this book are fantastic.
Absolutely fantastic.
Like, the art is great, and the characters are great, and they're all so distinct from each other. But, yeah, overall, it's just a gorgeous, gorgeous package.
Now, you guys have kids.
Yes.
Mm. Are you guys a big fan of the old diarrhea slide? Like, do you guys love doing that on the weekend?
So... Here's one of my other qualms with this book. There's a lot of poo-poo humor in not just this comic, but like...
It's really slipped into dad mode.
Yeah. I mean, he did it. Yeah. He gave it that old Pete thumbs up for shrimp and dad humor. There's a not just particularly in this book, but like it's a running theme in Deadly Class. There's a lot of shit jokes, which I think is because this is kind of supposed to be like an 80s movie and there's a lot of like broad humor in it.
To me, it's like Rick Remender sort of going back into his childhood and writing like a heightened comic book version of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's definitely like a poo slide guy.
I guess so.
That's pretty gross. Did you ever do that, Pete?
What, clog a bathroom and feel really good about myself? Yeah.
That's not what happened in the comic.
Yeah, he walks out of the McDonald's bathroom hey, I just clogged that one.
Gross. I thought you were trying to say that you were equating clogging a slide with poop to your life, which you're a toilet's just a slide you don't go down.
Well, toilet's a slide for your poop.
Oh, man. We are big thinking.
Oh, we're all going to die.
Yeah. The exploding copy machine does not like this line of dialogue.
Yeah.
Overall, you like this book, Pete?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, Remender is fantastic. The art is amazing. What's not like?
Yeah, I do want to say, actually, I know it sounded, I was criticizing a little bit for not focusing on the core concept of the book, but he's so good at writing just like these hangout issues where the characters go and do things together and mix it up and mix up their love lives. If you have been reading the book, there's a great almost anti-cliffhanger at the end that plays off stuff that we, the audience, know that some of the characters didn't know. Yeah. It's an ongoing soap opera, and it's a lot of fun. I feel like it's also pretty heartbreaking, and terrible things happen all the time like they do in Rick Remender books, but it's enjoyable. I like it.
Yeah, I like it a lot as well. Great, great hang. Kids just talking about music.
And shits.
Cool. If you don't want to get the shits, look for the Pete sign of approval outside all of your favorite strip clubs. Also, as I mentioned, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. in New York called Comic Book Club. That's totally free.
We've got Preacher Man, our Preacher podcast.
Yeah.
And new episodes coming out soon. Season's getting ready to close.
Also, if you want me to come to your strip club and approve it, please send me that information so I can do that for you.
Wow, what a big fall Pete has coming up. You can also follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
And friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have coming up on our live show.
Yep, check us out at comicbookclublive.com. If you'd like to support this show and the other shows we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. We'll do thank yous on the show, fun prizes and gifts and other things like that. And remember, we don't endorse robbing Midtown Comics, but if you do, let them know we sent you.
Also, thank you guys for the people who show up on the Patreon list time after time. It really means a lot. So thank you for your continued support.